Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from today's gospel, especially these words. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, one of the pitfalls of being a pastor and working with the Bible a lot is theology can become very analytical, and where I just look at definitions and concepts, and it can become very sterile, like a mathematical equation, right? This plus this minus this divided by this equals salvation. Hooray, we're all saved. That type of thing. Now, theology and salvation, for that matter, are meant to be understood and learned, and they're meant to be believed and taught and confessed, but they're also meant to be lived, and that's what we see in this text today. Jesus is teaching us what righteousness is and how we live it. Now, in this text, I really see that he has two forms of righteousness. The first form is by far the most important, and that is the justifying righteousness that we receive from God. When you see that verse in verse 48 of this chapter, like I mentioned earlier, your perfection must be equal to God's. When we start thinking about that, we panic. Luther despaired when he understood that concept because he could never come anywhere near the perfection of God until he came across, of course, Romans, which he'd read many times, but this time he really read it and really understood. Romans chapter 1 and chapter 3. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And in chapter 3, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And that's just a long way of saying Jesus lived a perfect life. He created a righteousness that is perfect, and that was placed on us. That's a righteousness that God sees when he looks at us. It is true. There is a perfect, justifying righteousness. There is another kind of righteousness as Jesus is talking about here, and that is our personal righteousness in our everyday life, which, by the way, is not perfect like God's righteousness. It's very imperfect, but it's still there. And the reason why that righteousness can be a pitfall for us, and we don't talk about it a lot, or at least enough in the Lutheran church, is because every other church body seemingly does nothing but talk about our personal righteousness at the expense of God's perfect righteousness. And, of course, you can hear this anywhere. The basic story is this. You make a decision for Christ. You ask Christ into your life. And now you live like it. And here's a way to do that. And here's a way to do that. And here's a way to do that. And if you're not doing it, well, you might want to think about deciding for Christ again and asking him into your life again. And then do this and do this and do this until finally it catches on. And as Lutherans, we go, no. That's not how it works. We do not create the relationship with Jesus by our decision. He decided for us. So he created the relationship, he maintains it, and he causes it to grow. And we know from Isaiah 64, it says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We say all of that, and all of that is true. Except sometimes we throw out the false idea about our righteousness, and in doing so, we throw out the entire concept. We overcompensate for a mistake that's been made, and overcompensating is a mistake as well. I'll give you a completely hypothetical example of this. I'm sitting down and I listen to someone preach a sermon. And it's this type of sermon, make a decision for Christ, ask him into your life, yada, 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 yada. And the sermon's done, and the pastor comes up to me, and he says, so, what'd you think of my sermon? And I'd say, it's horrible. What are you, thick? That's just the worst thing I've ever heard. That's not how it works. No, we don't decide for Christ. He decides, he chooses us. He makes us his disciples. The Bible's filled with it. That's how it works. I mean, when you were born, did the doctor hit you with an ugly stick and a stupid stick? Because that's ridiculous. And then just to make my point, I smack him in the face with a pie. Completely hypothetical. It's never happened. I've certainly thought about it at times, but I've never done it. Okay? Now, everything I said was true. But I spoke the truth without love. And I stood up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet, did I do it righteously? Absolutely not. There is such a thing as personal righteousness. That is imperfect, but it's still there. And it's a righteousness that does excel and go past the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. It's a righteousness that Christians who are part of the kingdom do and live in. You can't get past it. In the Bible, God does call people righteous, who are sinners, by the way. I mean, Noah was a sinner, right? I mean, what was the first thing Noah did when he got out of the ark and everything dried out? He planted a vineyard, and he got drunk, and he passed out in his tent. Now, that's not that righteous, okay? Oh, naked too, by the way. And yet, how does God describe Noah? He was perfect in his generation. Job, we've been covering that in our Bible class. Job admits that he is a sinner, and yet, how does God describe him? He says he's blameless. Much later on, Zechariah and Elizabeth, right, the parents of John the Baptist, it said they walked before the Lord in righteousness. So God does call these people righteous. And in fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, God will equip you with every good thing for doing his will. First of all, to understand this righteousness and how it works, we have to understand Jesus is talking to his disciples. The crowd is listening in, but primarily he's focusing on his disciples. And as we heard last week in the Beatitudes, verse 3 and 10, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is already theirs. In other words, they've already experienced the justifying righteousness of God. And now he says, now go live that. There's a distinction in here. If you look at verse 14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. That's justifying righteousness that God has done for them. Jesus made them light. But then verse 16 says, now let your light shine before others. That's the imperfect righteousness that we are called to carry out. And it does exceed that, surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees, because their righteousness came from a heart of selfishness. They only did it, these superficial acts, so that they could save themselves and earn that salvation. Our righteousness, thanks to God and his grace, doesn't come from a heart of selfishness, but it comes from the heart of someone who has been served by the Savior. So in turn, we can serve others. Now, it's always going to be imperfect. But when we who have been comforted seek out someone and comfort them in their time of distress, God does not consider that filthy rags. And when we care for someone as we have been cared for, God does not consider that filthy rags. And when we who have been forgiven so much forgive one person, God does not consider that act filthy rags. In fact, there's a really good reason why he doesn't look at our righteousness in that way. It's in that Hebrews passage. God equips you with everything good for doing his will, that he may work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. In other words, the righteousness we do is God working through us, and God is not going to refer to his work as filthy rags. That's the righteousness that we've been given to do. Imperfect as it is. And yet when we reach out with the redemption that has been given to us, we understand that redemption redeems, obviously, but redemption also equips us to do good works. It equips us to go out into the world as imperfect as we are and to seek to change things. And when we do that, the law is fulfilled. Now, when Jesus talks about, I've come to fulfill the law here, primarily he's talking about what he's going to do, right? By keeping and living a perfect life. But in some small way, when we exercise our righteousness in the world, that law is fulfilled as well. And the light of God's glory shines, maybe just a little bit, but it still shines in a world that is filled with darkness and sin. And when that light shines, people notice it and people are drawn to it. I pray that the Lord continue to work in us, to fill us with his light, and to work through us as he promises in the book of Hebrews. Work through us so the light might come from us to the lives of others, so that they can understand what we experience today living in that light. In Jesus' name, amen.